Future Proof by Victoria C.W. Simpson. So, it'll take about 3 days to fix her up. The mechanic nodded towards the rear of the garage, where heaped spaceship parts jostled for space in a dark area a fraction of the size of the reception foyer. What? Disengaging from the customer entertainment system, Bernice fixed him with a stare. You're kidding! 3 days! Oh, it'll take at least 2 to locate the part. That is one odd ship. Then, seeing her expression, why, you in a rush? Bernice wasn't in a hurry. In fact, she didn't have anywhere to be. It was more that she didn't fancy being stuck without transport. Actually, she hated being stuck without transport. Besides, where would she stay? Oh, no, there's no hotels on HB-79. It's a heritage planet. No one's been able to develop it because of its unique character. Really? I thought there was a university. Well, sort of. The university keeps an outstation there, but mostly the planet is just empty space. Conservation land, they call it. And the bit of accommodation they keep is reserved for students. He made a face. Still, it's been developed now. Big time, you must have heard. Bernice was only listening with half an ear. So a minor planet was going to be stripped of its resources and left trashed and spent. Didn't sound like news to her. This new company, Future Proof, is putting an eco-theme park in. It's going to be big business. Oh, it'll be the top place to come and see what nature and all that was like centuries ago. Now that sounded a bit more unusual. And the best thing is, they're going to need human workers, you know, to make it feel retro. They're building on-site accommodation and a recreation unit right now. Not soon enough for you. Then he added, but if you need somewhere to stay, you could go on one of those, promotional tours. Some of them go on for days, sort of like a camping trip. He checked the chip embedded in his wrist before turning away at speed. Anyway, I'll never get your ship fixed if I don't get to it. Bernice thought for a minute before reactivating the advert she'd been watching earlier. It was about as subtle as a sledgehammer. A commentary began listing the merits of the new development, while the company logo, entwined with what must be the university's crest, superimposed itself on a series of landscapes. Future-proof. It sounded like one of those hybrid projects where the universities and big business partnered to do stuff. Not something she approved of. But it wouldn't hurt to check out the new development, especially if it meant solving her accommodation problem at the same time. Rucksack on her back, hands in her pockets, Bernice breathed in, enjoying the feel of the flora under her boots and the vista of purple and brown hills stretching into the distance under twin orange suns. The uncluttered lines of the horizon gave the scene the feeling of a tranquil past long gone, a time before almost every scrap of land on every planet had been cultivated to within an inch of its life. Cultivated, trashed, or both. The only building on the horizon was the visitor's centre, a gleaming dome with the future-proof logo branded on it in purple, which was reflecting light onto the cluster of people standing near it. Although surrounded, at a distance, by a chain of security staff in boiler suits, they seemed oblivious, their focus instead on a woman dressed in a suit the same purple as the company logo. As Bernice approached, the woman looked up, shading her eyes with a gloved hand. Hello? I see you're not tagged yet. Have you recorded your details at the centre? Signed a waiver? Then, without waiting for a response, I'm afraid I can't allow anyone on this trip unless they followed the appropriate procedure. Right. Without stopping or changing her pace, Bernice adjusted her course and swung through the doors of the visitor's centre. Once processed, she re-emerged to join her fellow field trippers, ignoring their tacit disapproval as she walked to the end of the group. Most of them looked as if they'd spent their entire lives indoors. Academics or middle managers who'd bought state-of-the-art camping kit especially for the occasion. She mentally discounted any hopes of sleeping rough under the stars. Clearly, this wasn't going to be that kind of trip. However, bringing up the rear of the queue was a cluster of young people in their late teens, dressed entirely in black. Irrespective of gender, they all sported near-identical haircuts, shaved on one side of their heads and swinging low on the other, as well as dark makeup and lip gloss. They also wore... wait, Were those high heels? Bernice tried not to stare. Granted, there had been a period in her life when she'd dressed inappropriately as often as she could, but even she had never worn heels on a field trip. A fair-haired guy had seen Bernice looking and elbowed the woman next to him. She was tall, with black hair and a direct gaze of someone who wasn't easily fazed. Looking straight at Bernice, she rolled her eyes rudely.
"You will now watch a promotional presentation followed by a health and safety message," the guide declared.
It was more of an announcement than a request.
"Hello? Are you not there?"
The guide waggled a purple clipboard with the air of someone used to being obeyed.
"And that includes our group of business students."
The black-haired student gave a perfunctory nod before whispering something to her friends that generated laughter. Bernice tried to focus on the presentation hologram manifesting in front of them all. Future Proof was born from the ashes of the environmental disasters of the early part of the century. Its aim? To protect our heritage in these uncertain times, to give future generations the opportunity to experience a past world, and to...
Sorry, can I ask a question?
Bernice turned to look, while the talking head of the hologram swiveled in a full circle, scanning the group to see where the voice was coming from.
Isn't there a contradiction in the idea of preserving our heritage? I mean, when we know that the world is going to end.
It had to be one of the business students. The guide's response sounded prescripted.
You don't think it's worth preserving what we can for as long as we can?
Well, yeah, but...
That's fine, then. There's no problem.
And to the talking head, which was trying to keep up with the exchange.
Carry on.
I agree.
It was the black-haired student this time, her tone clear and her voice confident.
This idea of preserving things for the reasons of heritage implies that there will actually be a future.
Her smile didn't reach any further than her mouth.
Which is a bit of a laugh, given that none of us really has one, do we? All of our lives are lived in the shadow of the end of everything, so future-proofing isn't really an option, is it?
Trying to head off the challenge, the guide cut in.
This is a promotional presentation, not a philosophy seminar, Miss...
Ariane, but...
Ariane, 7986521, HP 79 University...
Looking up from the virtual database hovering above her clipboard, she fixed the young woman with her gaze.
Thank you for your thoughts. I have made a note of your concerns, which will be forwarded to your university department.
Then to the talking head.
Carry on, please. Let's see if we can get going before second sunset.
While the promotional hologram reloaded, Ariane stood with her arms crossed, looking defiant as the people nearest her edged imperceptibly away. Bernice waited until the younger woman looked in her direction, then met her gaze for a moment. By now, the hologram was giving off a purple haze. Bernice hated it when they took branding that bit too far. We promise to deliver a new business model, one in which profit and fairness go hand in hand. Welcome to a new and ethical era of environmentally friendly policies and worker-friendly practices. Welcome to a vision which protects the landscape as long as it is ours to enjoy. A vision which is truly future-proof. As the soundtrack died out, Bernice looked beyond their little group towards the quiet promise of the horizon. If only this was a proper trek and she could walk off the sadness that Ariane's words had generated. It must be hard to be young and feel that there was no future.
So that's the safety check. Remember the drill.
The guide's words cut across her thoughts.
Most importantly, stay with the group. We cannot accept responsibility for anyone who wanders off.
Then with emphasis,
we will not hesitate to message you via your wristbands if any of you fail to stay on the path. Is that clear?
A message sent via their wristbands. Bernice examined the plastic cuff clamped firmly around her left wrist. When she gave it a tug, it showed no sign of movement.
And so we have based the design for these birds on the creatures of paradise prized by many cultures for their plumage. They perform a dual function, providing interest and companionship for visitors, as well as a surveillance function to assist with security.
Sorry, but what's a bird again?
Yeah, and what's this on the ground?
As the day wore on, it had become clear that Ariane and her friends weren't even trying to stay under the radar, which wasn't to say that Bernice didn't admire their spirit.
Don't tell me this vegetation is native to HP-79. I've definitely seen it growing on other planets.
And of course it's not native. Did I say it was?
The guide was clearly rattled.
We've created an authentic-seeming world, not one that has ever actually existed. Our promotional material is very clear. This is a heritage experience. Any resemblance to any planet, dead or living, is entirely accidental.
Well, that spelt it out, then. Bernice swatted at the purple butterfly that was trying to land on her shoulder.
Don't do that. Those robotic insects are expensive.
As expensive as the birds of paradise? Bernice posed her question with a smile, managing not to flinch even as an orange-crested bird landed at her feet and stared at her, its head cocked. She was all about finding ways to stay cheerful, but still, it had been a long day. A very long day of walking back and forth in a small area being lectured.
At various points in time on some planets, animals such as those in the distance wandered at will in areas demarcated as fields until harvested by farmers, trilled the guide.
Bernice stared at the mock-up of a quadruped, staged as if it were grazing.
When the eco-park is up and running, we will have actors assuming some of the human roles.
She'd heard enough. This planet was nothing but a stage set. A bunch of props designed to give the impression of a world that had never existed and wasn't real by anyone's calculations. Bernice longed to vote with her feet and head off into the open terrain just the other side of the walkway. But the guide was unrelenting.
So this will be the location of our employee welfare centre. It will house a state-of-the-art medical centre for our workers, as well as recreational facilities for flotation boxing and virtual darts. We expect that many of our workers won't even want to go off-site.
The guide gave a little laugh.
Oh, but seriously, in terms of an eco-footprint, this complex has been designed so that as more processes are automated and fewer workers are needed, these buildings will simply biodegrade. When no longer in use, they will quickly revert to being a part of the natural world. It will be as if they had never been there.
The archaeologist in Bernice felt a pang at the idea of biodegradable buildings. Just then, however, she sensed movement behind her. She turned in time to see Ariane wink at her friends before swinging her black-clad frame under the fencing and ducking out of sight. Where was she going? Although Bernice sympathised with anyone wanting to escape this interminable tour, Ariane's movements had looked purposeful. And that wink had seemed complicit, almost as if there were a plan of some kind. She sighed. It was hardly her job to intervene if some young person chose to get themselves into trouble. Although if she had been listening correctly, they had reached the very heart of the site. They were above the underground engine room, where the tractor ride simulation was powered and the energy to run the moving walkway was generated. Surely the students weren't saboteurs of some kind. Now that sort of behaviour could attract a life-changing penalty. With a sigh and trying not to think about the tag on her wrist, Bernice ducked under the fence and ran after the younger woman. She had wanted to check out the landscape the other side of the fence, but not like this. What was the expression about being careful what you wished for? Running as quickly as she could, she ascended the rise in the direction Ariane had taken, pressing on around an outcrop and barely pausing to draw breath, all the while expecting to hear the guide calling her back. She hit her stride, noticing how good it felt to stretch her legs and feel some real space around her. Thump! Her focus on the middle distance, Bernice narrowly avoided tripping over Ariane as she crouched on her knees by an open access hatch. Ariane looked up, her black-rimmed eyes large against her white face. With her free hand, she waved a collapsible screwdriver in Bernice's face.
Get away from me! You ruin everything!
Hearing a whirring sound, Bernice noticed two birds of paradise circling. If they were fitted with surveillance devices, then her time was nearly up. She turned back to see the other woman disappearing, boots first, into the hatch. Impulsively, Bernice threw in her own rucksack and jumped after it. As she fell through the darkness, she hit her head against something metal. Her last thought before she blacked out was, "Nice one, Benny." Waivers were signed by all employees as a condition of their contracts. Those employees who had earned sufficient conduct points were given the opportunity to evacuate, as were the staff and the students of the academy. The voice was oppressively loud and seemed to be coming from all directions at once. So to those of you who have elected to remain, we wish you well, while also reminding you that Future Proof can accept no liability for personal injury or death. There was a 10-second pause before the announcement began again. Waivers were signed by all the employees as a condition of their contracts. Was it a public address system? Bernice was finding it almost impossible to think straight as she struggled into a sitting position, half in and half out of what seemed to be an empty lift shaft. She rubbed her hip. That had been quite a fall. Looking up, she started at the sight of a familiar figure in black looming above her. Unable to make herself heard, Ariane mouthed wildly before making the universally understood WTF gesture. When Bernice mimed incomprehension, pointing at her ringing ears, Ariane looked at her as if she'd lost her senses, then tapped her watch and made a forward motion with her hands, all the while mouthing, as if at a small child. When Ariane turned away in exasperation, Bernice resisted the desire to put her fingers in her ears and curl into the fetal position. She shook herself mentally and stood up to follow Ariane towards an exit sign, with mould encrusted on its purple and white surface. Rapidly, they climbed several flights of stairs to a ladder leading up, the public address system ringing in their ears as they went. Ariane opened the hatch cover with effort as Bernice wondered, momentarily, who had closed it behind them earlier on. And were those birds around still? Heaving herself up and out, she realised with relief that the noise of the public address was muffled. "Oh, that's so much better." It took Bernice a moment to register her surroundings, but when she did, they took her breath away. They were on an incline that teetered above a vast expanse of mud. Turning 180 degrees, she couldn't believe her eyes. Where were the open horizons she had just seen? She distinctly remembered the feeling of open space around her, not this nightmare of a landscape. Where she had seen open and unspoiled land, this environment was grey, dirty, cluttered. As far as she could see, the entire terrain had been laid to waste. In the foreground, a couple of post-industrial buildings slumped against each other for support. As a backdrop, a wasteland of metal debris, industrial equipment, metal containers, random plastic items, all piled high in their thousands and silhouetted against the greasy sky. The two women edged closer to each other as they watched a lone figure scurry across the pitted landscape some distance away, trying to avoid the potholes and streams that crisscrossed it. "What is this place, Ariane?" "Where do you think it is?" The other woman seemed angry. "It's HP 79, obviously." But we travelled forward in time." "Forward? But why?" Then, with mounting unease, "How far forward exactly?" "Oh, not that far forward. Anyway, shush, I'm ASRing." "You're what?" "ASRing, you know. All senses recording, so I can show my friends."
Against her better judgment, Bernice waited as the other woman turned in a circle. Maybe it was that bump on the head, but she found herself asking a random question.
"So, are you really a business student?"
It provoked a surprising glance.
"Yeah, I am. Business and philosophy. But most of my friends are studying quantum physics. Like, you didn't know that already."
She grinned with a complicity that Bernice didn't feel.
"Anyway, there's something I want to see, and only just enough time to get there. You coming or not?"
"Where to?"
"Oh, make your mind up. I haven't got time for this."
Then turning away.
"Actually, neither of you. This place is going to blow."
Should she follow? She had no idea what was going on and wasn't likely to find out unless she got some answers out of Ariane.
"Wait up! I mean it!"
She set off across the rutted expanse of mud and water behind Ariane. But the younger woman moved quickly, navigating the terrain with ease despite her heels, and making it impossible for her to catch up. Finally, on the threshold of a large building, Ariane paused and waited, looking up.
Oh, what is it?
Panting, Bernice followed her gaze to the archway above them, noting the familiar logo still legible under generations of grime. The company brand and the crest intermingled. With her archaeologist's eye, Bernice recognized the building from the drawings they had seen on their field trip. It was the Employee Welfare Center, crumbling and bowed, disintegrating in increments, one large mess of litter. But not by any stretch of the imagination, biodegrading. Could they really be in the future? A future where Future Proof had built their buildings and messed up the place despite all their promises, then moved on to other projects and plans and profits. So much for all the promises to future generations and to past ones. And what about the workers? And the students? Were they long gone? Opening her mouth to speak, Bernice realized that Ariane had disappeared inside the building. She followed along the once grand hallway, wincing at neglect and decay blighting the clean lines and modernist aesthetic. She passed a purple notice board displaying an advert for interplanetary flu jabs and a black-bordered notice headed Emergency, then registered the graffiti scrawled on the walls behind it. Our university, our planet. Students and workers unite. Say no to evacuation. Be there when it happens. Feeling apprehensive but determined not to lose Ariane, Bernice entered the main recreational hall. Averting her eyes from a pile of excrement of uncertain origin, she noted that the hall's vaulted ceilings were still intact. However, in the light filtering through the encrusted windows, it was plain that the vast room had been stripped of its contents and left damp and filthy-smelling, a shell of a place. Huddled figures lined the walls, while a few clues hinted at a different past. A rocket rugby net drooping from parallel bars and a crumbling scorecard still referring to a long-ago sporting fixture. She was beginning to think twice about exploring any further. Through dulled ears, was she imagining it? She could make out a mounting rhythm in the distance. As the seconds passed, she became sure it was real. A thumping sound, which was building in intensity and volume and giving her a very bad feeling. Bernice hesitated. Should she try to find out what was happening? Or should she keep looking for Ariane? Either way, there was no choice but to keep moving. She had been edging forwards for only a few seconds when her outstretched hands encountered a wall of tarpaulin. She drew it to one side, like a heavy curtain. "So, are you drinking or what?" Confused, Bernice blinked. She was standing on the threshold of a low-ceilinged tent, trying not to gag at the smell of unwashed bodies rising in the damp atmosphere. She looked down to where the voice had come from and registered several people in varying degrees of dishevelment squatting before a makeshift table on which was hung a sign, Student Bar. Bernice watched as a woman, holding a baby, handed over her rings in exchange for a glass of bright liquid, then silently downed it in one. "Hey, you brought your own cup?" The barman's face was impassive as he turned his attention to the newcomer. "Got anything to trade?"
No, thanks anyway."
A man with heavy eyes and bad teeth turned in Bernice's direction.
"Hello, love. You're not alone, are you, tonight of all nights?"
He nodded at the pint glass of green liquid he was cradling close to his chest.
"Tell you what, we could share this if you like."
When Bernice shook her head, his face crumpled.
"Me and you, go on."
Bernice had turned men down before, but this felt different. Instinctively, she started to back away.
No, I'm sorry, I have to go.
He grabbed at her ankles, but missed, succeeding only in knocking his pint down himself. On the other side of the tarpaulin, Bernice took a breath and steeled herself to keep going. The thumping rhythm coming from the far end was getting louder. With any luck, she'd find Ariane there and get some answers, or at least work out what the hell was going on. The rhythm continued to build as Bernice walked on, her eyes straining to make out what the crowd of people at the far end of the hall were doing. As her sight adapted, She made out the magnified image of an analogue clock face projected across the side wall. To the time of its second hand, a ragged band of people banged makeshift percussion instruments, a broken drum, two pieces of machinery, a spanner bashed repeatedly on a rusting wheel. Some of the musicians sported feathers in their hair, while one tugged at a bald creature on a chain. It looked oddly familiar, its head jerking repeatedly to one side and its cries adding to the chaos. Bernice dragged her gaze from the musicians and surveyed the rest of the crowd. Most of them were under 40, at a guess. Some danced, while others looked as if they were using all their strength just to stay upright. Some clutched glasses of green liquid, and quite a few of them sported T-shirts on which were daubed some kind of slogan. Was it, "Be there"? Bernice stared. She had never seen anything like it. It was like a dystopian festival, a rave where everyone was having the worst trip of their lives. A man with wild eyes walked past, talking to himself, while a tight group held hands in a circle, their eyes closed and their lips moving, oblivious to the unclaimed child pulling at their clothes for attention. Piled up along the walls to the right and the left were bodies. People sleeping, or drugged, or worse. And threaded through it all, a rank and pervasive smell. The smell of fear and desperation.
"Ready? Steady?"
As Bernice watched, two young girls just a metre or so away fed each other a white pill simultaneously. Then, holding each other's gaze, swallowed hard. She turned away to find a familiar face at her side, looking towards the ceiling above the giant clock. The familiar logo with its combination of purple lettering and a gold crest was hanging lopsidedly above the crowd. But there, suspended from it, were half a dozen or so birds of paradise, hanging lopsidedly from holes drilled in their beaks or their wings, the bright colours of their remaining feathers livid against the drab surroundings. Some were partly shaven, while others were twitching and trying to squawk. Ariane's face was pale as she looked back at Bernice. There was no eye-rolling this time.
"This isn't how I thought it would be."
"What?"
"I wish I hadn't come."
The shout went up.
10 minutes left. Only 10.
Someone wailed, making a keening sound. Then another voice started up. It was excruciating to listen to. Bernice took the lead.
"Time to go. You can explain outside."
Suddenly a team of two, the women, dragged each other back across the hall the way they had come. Together they retraced their steps to where they had entered the building. As Ariane's vice-like grip threatened to cut off the circulation in Bernice's arm, she pulled away and leaned, panting against the outside wall.
"Come on," Ariane urged. "Not until you tell me what's going on."
"What do you want to know?"
"What do I want to know?"
Bernice felt a swell of anger.
"How about what we're doing in this place?"
"Excuse me, did I ask you to follow me?"
In response, Bernice found herself rolling her eyes.
"Okay, okay," Ariane continued. "Marcus, that's my friend. He's way smarter than all of his lecturers. He tried everything, but he could only work out how to get us forward in time. Never back."
Bernice listened intently.
"And even then, he didn't know if it would work if we stayed in the future any longer than a couple of hours. But that was fine, because we just wanted to see the end of the universe."
Her voice was matter-of-fact.
"We knew there would be mega parties to celebrate. Everyone makes a fuss about getting to the end of the century. Imagine that, times 100. 1,000,000. With an apocalypse thrown in too."
Bernice felt slightly ill.
"Anyway, that's what we thought. We didn't imagine it would be like that. Back there."
Bernice was so angry that she couldn't let that pass.
"So you deliberately planned to go forward in time, to the end of the universe, because you thought it would be fun?"
The response was unrepentant.
"You still don't get it. All our lives we've been living in a dying universe. Ever since we can remember, we've been waiting for the end of everything. It's haunted our dreams and it's stolen our futures. Of course we want to be there when it happens. Of course we want to see it."
Hand in hand this time, they powered across the apocalyptic landscape, ignoring the mud and the polluted streams between them and their destination. Back at the rise, they scrambled to open the hatch, before falling into it and dragging each other down the ladder. But instead of heading down the staircase to the park engine room, Ariane looked around wildly. "Where's it gone?"
"Where's what gone?"
"The workers' lift, dimwit!" Then to herself, "He's hoping there's enough power left." When they fumbled their way to the lift shaft, by some miracle it wasn't empty. Instead, an open-sided lift was waiting for them. Bernice resisted.
"This is a bad idea.
Look, what if the power fails?"
"We should use the stairs if we need to get back down."
"God, what an idiot you are! This death trap is our only way out?"
Bernice's every instinct was screaming at her not to get into the open-sided box. But Ariane had leapt in ahead and was already tampering with the control panel, screwdriver once again at the ready.
"Come on!"
Then angrily,
"There's literally no time left!"
As the lift started to move upwards, Bernice threw herself onto its moving platform, only narrowly avoiding trapping her hand between it and the wall. Ariane cursed under her breath as the machinery laboured, winching them up a single floor before shuddering sideways.
"Is it supposed to do that?"
"Yes. It's an up-and-over model. A paternoster. It's super old. But out of date, really. And staying on it while it turns around at the top is a bit dangerous. But hopefully it'll do the trick."
The machinery sounded as if it were dying, the lift moving more and more slowly and threatening to grind to a halt. When the lights and the power cut out, they were left in complete darkness. The silence was punctured by Ariane's thin voice.
"Say something. I'm not very good in the dark."
The two women were packed in tightly, but by some miracle Bernice managed to reach into her rucksack and switch on her torch.
"How's that?" "Thank you. Now, wait, if I can just hold this steady. Yes, it's restarted."
And with a great clanking sound, the lift spat them back into their own time. Slowly, Bernice realised that it wasn't Ariane who was gripping her arms. Two other people were leaning over her, trying to haul her out of the hole in the ground. Two young people, in black clothing, with the same badge. One she hadn't noticed earlier, which read, "Be there when it happens."
"You okay?"
Ariane's friend Marcus bent over them while the other students crowded around, protectively shielding the pair from the converging guards.
"Hey, stay back, friend. Give the lady some air."
Bernice stood up and raised her face to the steady light coming from the twin suns overhead. She breathed out slowly, relishing HP-79's unspoiled brown and grey horizon. When she looked back in Ariane's direction, she could barely see her for her friends. Their young faces lit up and their voices were alive with interest.
"It was extreme, right?"
"Oh, the craziest party ever."
"When are we going to go again?"
"It's my turn next."
Bernice opened her mouth, then closed it again. There was a pause before the younger woman spoke. Her voice at first faint, then stronger, trying to make herself heard.
"No, I said no.
There won't be any more trips. It's not like we thought. I can't describe it."
Bernice agreed inwardly. It was hard to describe what they'd seen. Although she wished Ariane luck with trying, she decided to leave her to it. Bernice had had quite enough of this field trip. Maybe it was time to hit the student bar. Actually, forget it. She shuddered, remembering the student bar at the end of the world. No, thank you. She pushed past the guards towards the path, only to be forced to stop, her exit barred by a purple clipboard. With a heavy sigh, she looked up at the guide.
"We appear to have a breach of procedure, Miss Summerfield. Perhaps you'd like to explain yourself?"
Bernice hesitated, then half smiled. For once in her life, she found the all-too-familiar words almost comforting.